something on the prophetic quickly, because the prophetic might be new to some of you. It's not new if you read the Bible. It's something that's been there from the very beginning, and you see it right through to the very end. One of the things I wanted to highlight just as we come into our time with them, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul urges all the believers, firstly, to walk in love. And then he goes a bit further and say, all the gifts given to the body are precious and beautiful, but desire the gift of prophecy above them. And then he qualifies why. He says, because it's the gift that strengthens the body, it comforts the body, and it builds up the body. Let me give you an example. When the Lord was ministering over Brandy right now, how many of you sitting here felt strengthened by the word that the Lord gave her? How many of you? See how it works. So the Lord touched a daughter of his, touched a heart through the prophetic, but the whole congregation is strengthened through that prophetic voice. Strengthen us. And that word, did it comfort you? Did you feel comfort and build up? It's a beautiful thing. So Paul is saying, I really want the church to desire and take hold of this, because the church, us, will benefit from this. It connects us to the heart of God. Right? Connects us to the heart of God. And the second thing I wanted to highlight on the prophetic is it shows us the deep desire within our Father's heart to communicate to his sons and his daughters. He really wants connection. And there's no connection without conversation. Have you noticed that? How many of you have kids? Can you have any connection with your kids if there's no conversation with them? None. So he's a good father, and he gives us good and perfect gifts. So his heart is to communicate and talk to us so that we can respond, as we can connect, and that we can walk with him and live with him and him with us. Right? So it's not a weird thing. It's not an airy-fairy thing. It's at the heart of this thing. It's a relational thing.
Thanks, Merv. It's so good to be back. I walked in this morning and like all the girls ran up and hugged me. And there was like just such a like, we didn't know you were coming. And what are you doing here? And I was here 6 months ago. And it's kind of a little surprise for me to be back. But what a good surprise it is. And thanks so much. So wonderful to see you all. And the beginning of this year, I always try and, actually Merv taught me this, to ask the Lord at the beginning of the year, Lord, what are you saying to me for the year, like personally? And so I was busy doing that, and then I was like, okay, but Lord, let me put it out further, like what are you saying to your church this year? Like what do you want to say to us as Joshua Generation? And so I don't want you to see this word as generic, because I do believe the Lord can speak to the whole church. And I believe like each of us will take it and use it as what you need to use it in your context. So as I was reading the scriptures and as I was just pondering, I felt like the Lord speak to me, and he said to me, what if this year was a quest on your journey? And I was like, that's interesting. what are you saying? And I was like, did I watch a movie and there was a quest, you know, for hidden treasure or whatever? And then I just felt the Lord repeating it over and over to me. And so I went and actually searched up the difference between a journey and a quest. And just simply, a journey is obviously a broad travel from point A to B, where we have all these experiences along the way. And in essence, as a believer, we are on a journey from probably the Lord knew us before we were born to into eternity, forever and ever. That is our journey as believers. But a quest is this. It is a quest has a focused defined goal. It's a purposeful journey with a specific, often difficult goal. A defined objective involving challenges and a sense of mission to find or achieve something significant. Think of a journey as a path itself and the quest as a mission within that journey. And so obviously I was saying, okay, Lord, so you've got us on a quest. So what is this quest about? What is going to be difficult? What is going to be challenging? What is going to be hard to find? But at the end of the day, it's actually going to be something so incredibly significant for us, the church. And I felt the Lord say two things to us. So I'll touch on the first and a little bit on the second, and Nadine will actually come and expand more on the second because the Lord's been speaking to her about that very thing as well. So the first was the ancient paths. And so when to Jeremiah 6 verse 16 in the NLT, it says this. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its paths and you will find rest for your soul. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. And in this context, Jeremiah is speaking to Israel, and they were chasing ideas, they were chasing foreign gods, there was political shortcuts. It was not in a good way. And he's saying, let's bring us back to obedience to the Lord, back to justice and mercy, back to humility and repentance, back to trust in him rather than in the powers and the trends. And this is what Jeremiah was saying to them at that time. And I believe the Lord is wanting to us to go back to his long established ways of truth and faithfulness and righteous living and obedience to him, and to once again embrace justice and mercy and live in humility and repentance. For us, I think the end of that scripture, it says, but you reply, no, that's not the road we want. And our natural bend is to want to do what we want to do. Our natural bend is to want to follow the trend. Our natural bend is to want to do what's easy. Our natural bend is to enjoy and maybe not sacrifice. And I believe that we're going to have to fight for this godly way. We're going to have to fight to get back onto those ancient paths. And that is the quest. Because at the end of that quest, and I do believe this year there's going to be, maybe even as a congregation, there's to the elders, maybe there's going to be many things that you're going to have to attack, in a sense, on people going, no, but we don't want this road. We rather want this road because it's easier. And that the Lord would reveal to you as a congregation what it is that the Lord wants to bring you back to specifically. And then the second thing I felt the Lord say was the presence. And Exodus 33 verse 15, then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. Don't, please don't leave us. Please don't let us leave this place unless your presence goes with us. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. And that his presence would be the very thing that sets us apart, that sets you apart as a church, that sets us apart as Joshua Generation, that sets us apart as believers, that sets us apart as part of 412, that people go there, the presence is there. The presence is with these people, and they don't move unless the presence is there. And so those are the two things that I felt for us as a church, as Joshua Generation this year, the ancient paths and the presence.
Good morning, everybody. It's so amazing to be with you guys. I was here, I think, about a year ago when you were still at the yachting club. But it's beautiful to see just your biggest space with more people, yeah, and God just space for God to bring even more people in. So, yeah, similar to Jules, I also felt a word that was for Josh Jean as a church. So I want to bring it to you guys as part of the Josh Jean family. And just firstly, maybe on Jules's thing of the ancient past, going back to God's ways and similar to what Jamie had brought along with holiness. We were driving in the car here, and as we were praying for the meeting this morning, God just dropped this line into my heart as a prophetic declaration that I believe is specifically for Newport. It's for all of us as Christians, but specifically for Newport. And he said that we are not called to be chameleons. We are Christians. We are not chameleons. We are Christians. Chameleons. Comedians. We are filled with joy, but we are not chameleons. Now, what are chameleons? Chameleons blend in. Their colors, lizard. What did she say? You guys, I mean, a lizard. Okay, yeah. So chameleons, their colors blend in with the environment. But God hasn't called us to blend in with the environment, to blend in with the culture. He has called us to be Christians. Now, the word Christian, the word Christ, actually means the anointed one. And that means to be set apart, to be holy. Holy means being set apart, being different. And so God hasn't called us to blend in with culture, but to be Christians. And I was just reminded of the scripture in Romans 12, verse 2, where God says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That is God's desire for us, to live in goodness and something of his pleasure and something of his perfection, perfect will. But that will only come as we align ourselves with his ways, with his ancient ways, not blending in with the environment, but actually being different, living different. And to be anointed means to be set apart and also to be empowered, to actually have the power to live differently and to make a difference. And I just feel like that is what God is calling this congregation to, in the area of Newport in particular, not to blend in, but to be different. And then on the second part of Julie's word, where that was actually the word that I felt for Josh Jean, Exodus 33 verse 15, where Moses is about to enter the promised land and he says that very scripture that she said, that Lord, unless your presence go with us, don't make us leave this place. And when he was speaking about the presence, he wasn't speaking about a feeling. He wasn't speaking about an atmosphere. He wasn't speaking about some force. He was speaking about a person. The presence is the person of Jesus. It's not just goodness and joy and peace. It's him who is good, him who is peace, him who is joy, him who is breakthrough, him who is the gift, the miracle. And so I feel like God's saying, almost bringing those two words together, the only way in which we will be different is if we live from a place of finding Jesus, the person of Jesus, for the year, for our plans and our purposes for the year, but not just that, daily. You know, for Moses, God had given them the promise of the promised land, but he said, Lord, unless you're in those promises, unless you step with us into those promises, I'd rather stay in the desert. I'd rather be in a dry place, in a hot place, God, than be with you in even the promises that you've given, but without you. Hey, how crazy is that? And so do we go into the year, into our days like that, saying, Lord, unless you're in it, unless you're in it, God, I'm not going anywhere. Yes, God has blessing for us. Yes, God has gifts for us. But those things without Jesus means nothing. We'll end up not being a blessing because he is the blessing. He is the blessing more than the things that he gives. He himself, the person of Jesus. And so I really feel for us that God is calling us to a place of finding his face daily. Daily inquiring of him. Daily submitting our plans and our lives to him. Saying, Lord, I need you. Because, yeah, as Christians, we go through the same things as the world. We face the same difficulties, financial difficulties, sickness, our hearts being broken by just things that happen in our friendships, in our families, in our lives, or whatever. So what makes us different is not that we just have these lives that are trouble-free. What makes us different is that we have the person of Jesus with us as we go through those things. That even in those things, you know, Moses, as he came out of the presence, his face shone because people could see he'd been with Jesus. And so as we spend time with Jesus, it's possible for us to go through deep valleys, to go through great difficulty with a shine on our face, with a joy in our hearts. Why? Because we've spent time with Jesus. And that is what sets us apart. That is what makes us different. Not that it necessarily goes better with us, but we have Jesus with us as we go through these things. So just those two things that I feel like tie together in terms of being set apart, and how we set apart by actually spending time with Jesus, finding his presence, and that enables us to live differently and actually to make a difference into the environments that we go into.
Feel this, in some of us, there needs to be a realignment to ancient paths and to intimacy, the presence, holiness and the presence. Lord, we want to say, we hear what you're saying, holiness and presence, ancient paths, intimacy. The revelation and the person of Jesus clearly, loudly in our midst, in our hearts. Father, I pray that those words won't just did not be spoken and like water off a duck's back, but I pray that it would fall into us, into the swirl of our hearts, into our being this morning. We respond to those words. Holiness and presence. We pray that you would cement it in our lives and in the life of this church, Lord. Cement it into our families, our children, our marriages, our leadership. We hear what you're saying, God. Thank you for those words. Amen.
Something I've realized over the years about God is that things always fit. We don't always know how it's going to fit, because now Julie and Nadine had such incredible words that they submitted to MIRV and the way it fitted together. And then I said, I've got this other thing in my heart and I didn't know how it's going to fit. And now it's so obvious. It's so obvious that Jesus is speaking. I love that. And I want to encourage you not to hold back even if it's a little thing on your heart that you think is so insignificant, because it's only when each part bring their part that the puzzle pieces fall into place. And Jesus speaks clearly, not through one person. He speaks clearly when his people all bring, one brings a word, one brings a picture, one brings, and in that process, things become so clear. And I wanted to share something very practical just about Jesus being the picture that is painted as we prophesy. So Revelation 19 verse 10, there's this dramatic scene where the Apostle John is receiving a revelation of Jesus. It's actually the whole book of Revelation. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives it to him. It is a revelation of him. It's a revelation of the things that's to come. And an angel is a messenger that brings this message. And when John sees him, it must have been like talk about glitter bomb and neon lights, and like it must have been such an incredible moment as John stood in the heavens and he receives this revelation and he falls on his knees in front of this angel. And I love the angel's reaction. The angel goes, no, 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 no. Okay, in Milani's MIV, Milani's International Version, no, 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 don't worship me. I'm just a messenger like you. I'm just a servant like you. I'm bringing a message. And then the angel says something interesting. He says, for the spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus. And I've chewed over that scripture so many times, because what is a testimony? And I learned English in the Charismatic Church when I was 18. So there's a lot of things that's church words in my mind that is actually just normal words. Like testimony for me is when someone takes the mic on a Sunday morning and they share about God's provision or they share about a healing or whatever. But the word testimony is actually a legal term, right? It's an eyewitness's account. That makes me so excited about prophecy. Not because, this is such a tool and we can use it and it's so exciting. But because it's an eyewitness account of our risen Lord that's here with us. Not someone that just walked the earth 2,000 years ago, but our God, Emmanuel, with us. And he's speaking to us and he is listening to us and he's showing us stuff. And it would have been excited if he used one prophet or something, but how much more exciting that our sons and our daughters prophesy, and young men, young women, servants and maidservants, old people dream dreams, and this wonder, this testimony of a risen Christ that's with us, that's talking to us, his presence with us. Prophecy, the gift of prophecy, when you as a congregation operate in that, it is one of the ways that we know he's present. Yeah, his presence with you. As you align yourself with the ancient paths, the gift of prophecy is something that we're walking a road and then the road gets a bit broader and we start in South Africa, sometimes people pass you on the wrong side, on the gravel, and then you hear that sound, someone is passing you against the law, you're on the left-hand side and almost caused an accident. When we do that in church, when we're on the ways of the Lord and suddenly there's gravel, often it's through a prophetic word that we will be said, oh, that doesn't sound like Jesus. This doesn't feel like an ancient path. This feels like the way that we want to go, our own way, or according to our intellect or our human wisdom. So testimony of Jesus. And I just thought something, a fresh testimony that I have that I love. Eden, you guys, Eden was here with you guys. Was she in this congregation? But for those of you that's met Eden, she's a young girl. Her family is a family to me. Their home is my home away from home. And I woke up 3 hours drive from Cape Town at my home the one morning a couple of weeks ago. And I had this desire to make a financial contribution towards something that's in Eden's future, something very specific. Meantime, kid you not, she's walking on the beach in St. Clemente somewhere here. And the Lord says to her, because she's a very responsible young lady, she is figuring out how she's going to work hard, save up for this and this and this that she needs. And as she's walking on the beach, the Lord says to her, ask of me. I want to show you my generosity. And she's and it's hard for her. And then she goes, Lord, what is the specific amount I must ask for? So he tells her amount. And that, it must have been within those days. We haven't figured out the date yet. But I woke up in the morning, phoned her mom and said, I feel to make this contribution. It's the amount that God asked her to ask. And I'm Jesus is alive. Jesus is walking on the beach in Sacramento. Jesus stands next to my bed when I wake up. And it's not just a case that I've got his ear. He's got my ear. I've got his ear. Guys, he's alive. He's real. He's aligning us with his ancient paths. He is. His presence is with us. And can I be as bold as to say that if we despise prophecy or we don't eagerly desire prophecy as we come together as people, we can miss out on eyewitness accounts.
I just want to add to that, because early in the prayer meeting already, when we were talking about gifts, I felt that some people here may feel that the prophetic is like a bit of an unwanted gift. It's like a gift that's available, but I don't really want that. I prefer a different gift. And then the Lord reminded me how years ago for a birthday, my mum gave me a gift that I really didn't actually want. But about a month later, I realized I actually needed that gift. And I felt that for some people here today, it's almost like the prophetic, that's for others. I don't know if I really need that. But as Melania has spoken, there's been a sense of, no, you need this gift. It may not be something that you necessarily want, but you need it. So to come with that posture of, Lord, it might not make sense to me right now, but actually to fulfill your commission, actually to be a witness It might be unwanted to me, but I see that it's needed and therefore I want it.
Yeah. Very good, Nadine. So I didn't want to go there, but I feel I should, because there's very good reason why some of us can be put off in the prophetic. One of the things is when the messenger angel comes and John falls on his knees, maybe you've seen a messenger that doesn't go, I'm just a servant like you, but a messenger that receives man's praise, like buffed up. People that use the gift of the Spirit to bring glory to themselves. You, I'm sure, have heard the stories and things that's been exposed in the church where the gift of prophecy gets abused, distorted, and where there's even blatant lying and corruption going on. And I want to remind you today that the gift is perfect because it comes from our Father, but that people can use and abuse. And we don't ever want to avoid something that's beautiful and of the Lord because someone else distorted and abused it. We still want fathers leading the families, even though the picture of fathers have been distorted in the world. And so often, we think when we see abuse that unuse is the answer, but rightful use is the answer. So Lord Jesus, I pray for these guys that stood up, that's eagerly desiring the gift of prophecy because they want to bring a revelation of Jesus. They want to be people that's eyewitness, that have eyewitness accounts every day of the living Christ that's among us, that walk among us. God, I thank you that you are have given them pure motives and even purifying the motives as they step out in the prophetic so that when people look at this congregation, they'll say, sure, we've had such a bad association, such a horrible taste in our mouth when it comes to prophecy, but now we see Jesus. We see that they are following the way of love and eagerly desiring the gifts and that they're using it to build up the body and to comfort the body, not for own gain, not for selfish, self-centered reasons, but so that Jesus can be glorified. So God, I pray that this will become a model congregation when it comes to using the prophetic in the right way, that your name will be glorified, that there will be hundreds and thousands of testimonies of the fact that Jesus speaks, that God still speaks today by His Spirit, and that we can yield to you and have stories to tell. So come by your Holy Spirit. For me, my personal experience was I met Jesus when I was 4, and then when I was 18, people told me about the Holy Spirit, and I was very nervous because I've never heard this stuff. Went to read my Bible, and they didn't even have time to lay hands on me. The guy put his hand on my shoulder, and I started speaking in tongues. I didn't even know what it was. And I started seeing and hearing things. It's a gift that comes from the Spirit. So, Lord, come. For those who's already walking in the prophetic year, stir up more, Lord. Touch eyes to see so that they will see. Touch ears so that they will hear. Touch hearts so that they will sense what is on your heart, on your mind, God. We trust you for that. I trust you, Lord, for many stories that after this morning, even though we're going to still do equipping and stuff, that this congregation will become, they'll buzz with hearing the Lord and speaking His very words. In Jesus' name. Specific word of knowledge of someone who has known about God and has known things about Him, but he was misrepresented to her for a very long time. And there's an anger in your heart towards God, but it's not towards the one true God. It's towards something that was a picture that was painted for you that is not true. And I don't want to just bring this word as words. I really trust that the power of God will be on it to break the mindsets that you have about who God is. And Jesus showed us what God is like. He showed us. a faithful God. And I almost feel like the God that was represented to you was one of these Greek gods who goes through like three lovers in a week and this whimsical thing and this emotional up and down. Like there's been a misrepresenting of the God of the covenant, the God who does not break promises, the God who is not fickle, the God who is not saying one thing now and another thing the next week. A God that could be fully trusted because he's perfect in all his ways. And I feel that like I'm fighting for your soul because you have rejected God and you've been angry at God in some ways in your heart. But it was something, a figment of people's imagination. It was a badly drawn caricature of who God is. And I really believe that as you open your heart today, that he is faithful to reveal himself to you. Not a fickle God, not an unfaithful God, not a God who breaks promises, and not a God who is one way the one day and then another the next. A faithful, reliable, steady Father.